You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Lord of how much? Lord of all. That's really what we want to remember today, Lord of all, no matter what our situation is, no matter what difficulties we come up upon, but that God is Lord of all. I'm going to invite, today is Katie's birthday. Well, this past week has been Katie's birthday, so I'm going to invite the members of the Katie team that are here to come on up. We've been doing this at each of our services. You know, in the last year, it's been a little difficult because we haven't been able to really have Katie around as much or doing what she normally would be doing. So it's good to be able to kind of get back to a place where we can do something with Katie and have her around like we would like to do. All right. And so those of you, I don't know that we need to sing happy birthday to Katie, but, you know, she's 7, right? How many of you have passed your 7th birthday? Okay, so we all know that, right? Many of us know that. We've all been 7. Now, in a dog's life, at least for service dogs, a lot of times, you know, they serve for 10 years, maybe 11. So there's a whole part of Katie's service, which has been great and will continue to be great. But we are also maybe having the opportunity in another year or so to maybe add a second team. And so while we could still use members for this team, we also would like to plant in your heads, if some of you are thinking about a way that you could serve that would be a different way, kind of a one-on-one kind of way, we'd love to have you as part of a Katie team or another team that Lutheran Church Charities would be able to place here in our midst. Katie has been such a blessing. She goes really on behalf of Trinity Lutheran Church, Fremont, Nebraska, to all over the place, both here locally as well as lots of other places in those rock bottom kinds of times. But we're also reminded that Katie is just that bridge to get Jesus to other people. I'm going to give this microphone to some of these guys over here, and they can tell us a little bit about their part with the Katie team.
Hi, I'm Joanne Johnson, and I've been a part of Team Katie for about 4 years now. I am a handler. We go to Chicago and get trained. It's an intense 3-day weekend of nothing but training. Because I work full-time, I don't go out as often as a lot of the people do, but I do try to take Katie when I can.
Oh, my name's Amber Smith, and I'm part of Team Katie, ministry partner.
I'm Judy Smith, and I'm a ministry partner. Ministry partners get to do the talking to the people. We get to kind of help them across that bridge.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Dawn Gilfrey, and I am the top dog of Team Katie, so that means I'm the one that's in charge of the ministry. And I also help Katie with her social media when her paws get tired of typing out everything. But like Pastor Dan said, it's not just Team Katie, it's actually the Comfort Dog Ministry here at Trinity that has been here for 6 years. And we have been so blessed to have your support, not only here as members and visitors here at Trinity, but also in the community and across the United States. Pastor Dan did say that, you know, as Katie ages out, we do want to continue this Comfort Dog Ministry because we have been so blessed by it. And when I say blessed, you know, when I first prayed about it and wanted to be a part of the Comfort Dog Ministry, I said, okay, I'll be a part of it, but I'm not going to hospitals and I'm not going to nursing homes or anywhere else because I did not like stepping in there whatsoever. And then God kind of laughed and said, yeah, right. And so where's the places that I go every week with Katie? To the nursing homes, memory care, and hospital. And I love it. And these ladies go wherever needed. Ministry partners are really important for us because, like Miss Judy said, they're the ones that are talking to people. They're the ones that are building that relationship. Katie gets us in the door, but it's not about the dog. It's meeting people where they're at and being there when they're broken, they're grieving, they're happy. We really do some really fun stuff. We're a really fun team also, but we've cried together, we've prayed together, and we also laugh together. So one of the biggest pieces for the new comfort dog that may be placed here, sooner rather than later, we're praying, is that we're really looking for people that are either active or retired law enforcement or active retired military. Within our experience going into different places, especially when we go on deployment, that's where the need is. When you have that relationship or that experience, that gets us in the door. And so if you're sitting out there or if you're watching online, pray about it. There's so many things that we need with the Comfort Dog Ministry. If you like doing photography, you can take all the pictures. If you like writing letters, handwritten letters, we always send letters to people across the nation. We have people writing and talking to Katie, and that handwritten note is so important. There's other little things to do, whether that's going to talk to people and just getting us new visits. During COVID, our visits didn't stop. We did them all online. We Zoomed with people across the United States, New York, Connecticut, anywhere that got us in a Zoom. We were Zooming with people. And it was, yes, they saw Katie, but we're the ones that had to carry on the conversation. And just meeting people where they're at is so important. We're all broken, and Katie just brings that golden light to people, and we really want you to pray about it, and we would really love to have you on the Comfort Dog Ministry. How many more? You said I have 25 minutes to talk, right? No. But thank you. And if you ever have questions, I mean, we need caregivers. We need handlers. We need ministry partners. You name it, artists. We like to have coloring pages of Katie. If you have a talent, come find us because we need your talent on. And if you don't like dogs, that's okay because it's not about the dog. But if you love Jesus, come on in to our ministry, our team, because it's fun. We're fun.
They do have a fun time. It's also a way, if for most of our people, if you'd last night, the ones that were here, and this morning the same way, most of the people that are on the team would not have found themselves willingly standing in front of the congregation and talking. It's just not who God has called them to be. But through this, their opportunities to witness and to minister and to love on people and to listen to people, they're not arm twisters. They're there to listen, to offer prayers if the individuals are open to that. Katie also spent some time here in our school and listens to kids read, and we hope we can get back to some more of that normal stuff. She was greeting kids every day outside, all of those kinds of things. So yeah, we're thankful for her ministry here because she and this team has broadened our congregation's understanding of what ministry really is. It isn't just coming for an hour and listening. It's about being active and seeking out and helping others in doing that. And these guys and their team have helped our congregation to understand that to a whole different level. And that's been a great thing. And as they said, they'd love to have more of you involved. If that's something that you, God has just kind of placed on your heart or just kind of thinking, maybe that's something I'd like to do in the future, talk to one of these guys about it. They'd love to chat with you. Thank you, guys. Let's thank the Lord for Katie and for her team members. Yeah, there's something about, Tim Hetzner, the head of Lutheran Church Charities, talks about dog is just God spelled backwards, right? How many of you, when you're thinking that something is getting to you and you're about ready to cry, and then you see other people, what do? You clam up and it's like, I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to cry in front of people, right? Isn't that stupid? Because we all do that. But you know what? When Katie comes in and people are petting the dog and are just able to be there, it's amazing what flows out of their mouths and out of their minds and out of their hearts. And team members are there to listen, to help if they can, to pray over them and with them. So what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? What are maybe it's not the worst thing, but what are times when you would have loved to have a comfort dog or somebody come and listen to you and hear everything you're saying? The good thing about a dog, right? Those of you that have dogs at home, a dog will listen to everything you're saying, and the dog will still love you and lick you in the face right after you just scolded him, right? Because God has made dogs that way. And Katie just, she has this little sense. If you have a need, she just tends to pull over to you. It's just kind of fun to watch. Unless you're the person that she comes to, because it's kind of like, okay, what's my need? What you doing here, right? But God has gifted those on our team to be able to minister in ways that they never thought they would. But you know what? We all go through those hard times. And the Bible says when we receive comfort so that we might be able to give comfort down the road. Because we are all in this together. Last week, when I started this series, we talked a little bit about rocks. And some of those rocks were from southern Utah. And they were just different shapes, different sizes. We talked a little bit in our text about Noah going into the ark and just what that flood was. That it was this destructive, cataclysmic event that killed all but 8 people on the earth. Now, again, if you're sitting here today, I would be one to say Scriptures talks about the flood as a historical event, not as an allegory, not as a nice story. And if you say the flood isn't true, then Jesus in Matthew 27 is a liar. Then the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1 is a liar because they talk about it as a historical event. And what we see in the rocks around us, what's left, are all the scars of the rocks that went on the water, through the water, with the water, and knocked into things and carved out these magnificent canyons and mountains that we see now that are really left over from this hardship. Last week we talked about this beautiful catastrophe, something that was so horrific in life for people, but even in the midst of it, God's saving and God's creation from what's left is still beautiful because it's who God is and what He does. Even in destruction, our God is beautiful. Look at the cross. And at the destruction of Jesus, God is beautiful because that's where He displays His love for us. Well, think back a little bit to Noah. What would he have thought when the door of the ark was able to be opened a year and some months after he went in with all those animals? And finally the door is open and he's on the mountains of Ararat somewhere in what we know today as Turkey. What do you think he saw? What do you think he thought? I've got a couple pictures of some rocks. Let's go ahead and look at a couple of them. You know, did he see something like this where there's this scrub brush and this huge canyon in front of him where the water ran? And he's looking around and saying, we are the only people left. What are we going to do? Where do we start? How am I going to get up there, down there, over there? Let's go to the next one. Now, I don't know what he saw. You know, these are southern Utah. They're not the mountains of Ararat. But he would have saw the remnants, the raw remnants of that flood. And he was the one that God had said, now I want you to do what he had told Adam and Eve to do. I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And Noah is looking around, and I'm sure for he and his sons and their wives, there was a little bit of what is this all about and what's going to happen with this? And all of the wickedness that Noah in his long life had lived through is gone But Noah is stuck with himself and his sons and their wives and their own sins that later come back again, like they do for you and me, right? Let's go to the next one. Just some different things that maybe, you know, what did he see when he opened the door? Let's go to the next one. Who knows what he saw? Let's go to the next one. And the next one. And one more. And then the last one. And we'll leave it there for a minute. Who knows what he saw? Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago, or I told you last week, that I had gone to southern Utah, and as we went, you know, we had everything planned, and we were going to go and spend some time there and do that, and, you know, like God is known to do, that we have our plans, and then he has his plans. My wife's mom had a stroke, a series of strokes, and so halfway through our time in Utah, Debbie left to be in southern Illinois, and that's where she is still, with her mom there who's on hospice. Maybe it's a difficult situation in life that's happened to you that changes everything. So the last part of the vacation that I got to kind of finish on my own, which I had thought we were going to get to finish together, all of a sudden my thoughts are moving around from how we get to spend time together to look at what's around you and what God has done and the catastrophe that we're seeing the beauty in all of these rocks. And how hard it would have been for Noah not only to hear God saying, build an ark, and then how hard it would have been for Noah to work at building an ark for years and years and years, and then how hard it would have been for Noah to listen to the screams of the people after the door was closed and they couldn't get in anymore. And without Jesus, that's us. Because once the door's closed, we can't get in. That's why Jesus says that he is the door for us. Jesus is the one who makes a way for us. Well, let me switch gears here a little bit with this picture. What are two words that men hate to say? You're close. She said, I'm wrong. Yeah, well, I would say I'm lost, okay? That's what this picture shows is I'm lost. I was going to be wrong is another way of doing that, but we'll go with the lost thing today. I went out and I was going to go and Debbie was gone and there's no cell service and there was this one slot canyon I wanted to go and see. And I knew it was a 45-minute walk to get there. And so I went and I found a place to park and I went to find the slot canyon, and I found the slot canyon after walking for those 45 minutes, and then there was this big boulder that had fallen in front of the slot canyon, so I couldn't go in and see it. But I climbed up some rocks to get there, and I climbed down some rocks then, and with my leg the way it's been the last couple of years, that probably wasn't real smart to do when there's no cell service, and my wife wasn't with me, and nobody else was around, but I didn't think of that until I was in the moment. Typical guy, right? And then as I'm leaving, I knew it took me 45 minutes to get there, so it's going to take me at least 45 minutes to get out. Well, as I'm leaving, I realize the wind has blown all of my steps, all of my footprints closed. And so all of the sand that I walked over to get there is now looks like fresh sand. And I'm going, oh, crap, I'm lost. And yeah, I was. I knew where I had to go because I knew that there was this huge rock face out to the east. So I knew I had to go east. I knew I had to go toward that rock face. And I wandered around kind of where I thought the road would have been, the trail would have been. And as I kept going, it was like this is close, but it's not the trail. And I know I'm going in the right direction, but I don't know what my difference is here, right to left. And so there'd be times I would stop and sit on a rock and think a little bit, pray a little bit, say, okay, Lord, I'm lost. And, you know, I'd wander a little bit more. And after about an hour, I there was a little glint of sunshine in a windshield over to my right. And I meandered and wandered over to those guys. And there were four guys from Oregon who were camping out there. And I said those two words that I didn't think I really liked to say. I'm lost. They all laughed because they're all guys. And, you know, they were experienced campers. I wasn't. I said, well, I parked by an orange Jeep and I had a blue car. And one guy says, we came past that about a mile and a half down the road. And, at this point, I've walked for about 6 miles, which was good for me to do that, but I was ready to be done. And one of the guys was nice enough to drive me back to where my car was. The orange Jeep was gone, but my car was still parked in the sand right where I had left it. I was thankful that it was, because it was another 15 miles of gravel roads, rutted and whatever, that I drove to get into that place. But why not? I mean, my wife was with me. I could go wherever I wanted, right? I was lost. And in the middle of that, I'm thinking, isn't this just our problem always? How many times do I have to tell myself that I'm not really lost, but I really am? How many times do I lie to myself about how good I can be at this or this or this, or how I can get myself out of something or other, when in reality I don't have a clue? I'm really just lost and I need help. And how we either in a glint from a windshield or a Savior on a cross find out, oh yeah, that's why we're here. You came here this morning. It's a matter of confession that you're here because you gave up your home routine and you came to another place. And you're by sitting here, you're saying, I know I need help. And I know there's somebody who can help me. I know there's that cornerstone where I can stand and where I can be safe. But that doesn't take away my lostness in the middle of life. So we continue to go day by day by day. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the doctor and he said, hey, your cancer's back on your leg and there's this new spot on your lung. So 4 days ago, I started taking some other pills and we'll see what they do to me. Right? How many of you listened to the news the last couple of days? I drove to Omaha here the other day and on 275, there was this accident where a person was killed. I was probably within 5 minutes of that as I drove. With the violence that happens or accidents that happen, how many lives are changed automatically in a moment? And in the middle of that lostness, the blessing for some of that is that Team Katie has come into some of that. But what do we do at times when we're lost? Now again, today is maybe kind of a harder message to hear because of that kind of a downer in a lot of ways. But remember that next week we're going to talk about the rock that's solid, and then we have the rock that's higher than I am, and then we have the rock of ages. We want the God who takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't leave us in the valley. He takes us through the valley. He doesn't leave us in the desert. He takes us through our wanderings in the desert and brings us out. Now, he doesn't do that on our time frame. He's the one who offers the time frame. We have thoughts and plans, and God says, wait a minute, here's where your thoughts and plans are going to lead, and how I'm going to get you there. Jesus' words in the gospel lesson to his disciples and to those around, how long do I have to put up with you guys when you can't do what I'm asking you to do? And that would have been a lot of the mean to cast out an evil spirit, right? I thought about that text a lot and then thought, what does Jesus say about me? How often does he say, Hoyer, how long am I going to have to put up with you with this or this or this or this, whatever it might be? And the good thing is, God always puts up with me and with you. God is so reliable and constant that we can always trust him for his words and his ways. And so we lean on him for how he gets us through those difficult times. So today, as we look at these hardships, at the rock bottom times, that I want you to continue to look to Jesus and how he promises to get us through those times, however difficult they may be. And we will all go through difficult times. No need to kid ourselves. So it's also time that we say, when those times come, I know we can get through it because there's a Savior. Because I have someone who loves me that much to get me out of my difficulties. May God bless us to that end as he reminds us how good he is in providing a Savior for us who are lost.